So yeah, with Brenda's family, pray they will remember the gospel that was shared and not the mess up that the preacher made. I've done several funerals in the ministry here, almost 60 of them. And not that I do the perfect job, but one thing that happened yesterday, it's never happened before, I used the wrong name to describe them once. And I apologized to the family later. They all understood, you know, some things. But so just pray that doesn't become a distraction from the gospel. I don't know why that happened. They really perked up after that. Who are we talking about here, you know? But that room was full. I want to say at least 100 people came, and praise the Lord for that. So pray for that.
And Romans. In your defense, Pastor, when we met with the family, the two, when you talked about one, it brought the brother in.
Good. So. Good. Sounds like they were pretty close in life anyway, so
yes.
So that was a blessing.
My husband always wanted to go see his brother. So
sure.
And I think the last time he saw Jim was probably the week before I took him to the hospital.
Okay. I think we had met you when he was still living, but I don't remember meeting your husband Bob there, but pray for Jim's family. Yeah, they do need the Lord. They definitely need to call on the Lord. So Romans chapter 12, verse number 8. That's where we've been. We started there last week looking at the final gift mentioned in verse 8. Here's what it says: or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And we're looking at this list, as the Bible calls it, of diverse gifts. For we have many members, verse 4 says, and all members have not the same office, etc., and their gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we look at these, and they're functional, meaning they're practical in the church. And we've seen them, the prophecy, the gift of prophecy. Again, this is as the Holy Spirit leads and guides and uses those who are open to him and has touched to use these gifts. The gift of ministry, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation, of giving, of ruling, and now the gift of showing mercy. Last week, we learned this about mercy. It is showing what mirrors the Lord Jesus. And we looked at the example of blind Bartimaeus and Jesus. You might remember that story. And what an amazing story that is as well. But Christ showed mercy in his life. And then we saw that mercy is that undeserved help. Bartimaeus didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God says it needs to be a part of our lives with one another. And then he says, talking about specifically here in those that show mercy or showeth mercy, is that mercy in action. Mercy in action. It's not enough to just talk about it. You know, it's just a blessing to learn about it, teach about it, but it's something that's done too. It's an action that helps others. And Jesus expects us to be merciful with one another. Matthew 5 talks about blessed are the merciful, as they share mercy with one another. It's a Holy Spirit gift, as some God uses in a great specific way in his local church. Then we looked at mercy showing qualities, compassion for the unqualified mercy, a person who needs it, but they're not qualified. We talked about the Canaanite woman. What was her problem, by the way, the Canaanite woman? Anybody remember? Her daughter. Long ways away from where she was, needed the touch of Christ. And here this woman, she'd made the trip, she'd made the journey, found him, and she believed he could heal her from there, and showed great faith. The Bible says, Jesus said she showed great faith, but she was not a Jew. She was, there's nothing in Scripture that says she had a specific she wasn't specifically religious or whatever, but she certainly had faith that Jesus could do what she was asking him. He had compassion for the unqualified. Then we saw that mercy showing includes kindness to who need more faith. Kindness to who need more faith. The father whose son had evil spirits and kept trying to kill himself with all these terrible ways. And yet Jesus was there, and the father cried out for mercy for his son, and God met him. But remember what Jesus said, if you have faith, this can be done. And what did the father say? I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. He begged for it. So praise God. Let's go look at another example. Luke chapter 17, mercy showing qualities. Luke chapter 17, that's where we want to go. And then we'll pray. We'll read the scriptures here, and then we'll pray. Verses 12 to 19 is what we want to look at here. Luke 17, starting in verse number 12, and reading down to verse 19. I'll begin. Would you read responsively with me? Verse 12, I'll read verse 12. If you'd read verse 13, back and forth. Verse 19, that's where we'll stop. Verse 19 in Luke chapter 17. Here's what it says. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
And Jesus
there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So let me give you the blank here and then I'll pray. So we're looking at qualities of showing mercy. Another one here, help without expectation. Expectation from recipients. That's the blank. Let me pray, then we'll continue on. Father, we thank you for your mercy to us, but we also thank you for the mercy that others have shown to us. And that should inspire us, Lord. That should make us consider how we can do the same for the others that are in need. And yet, Lord, you have some specific qualities and priorities and principles to follow so that it can be glorifying to you, not to anybody else. And I pray, God, that you would use this in a great way, Father, even tonight. Help us in our Christian life, as this is something that we need to do, as well as enjoy what you take care of. And I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the gift of showing mercy, showing qualities, help without expectation from recipients. Here's Jesus. They cried out, these men, these lepers, excuse me, all 10 of them cried out. Apparently, here's what it says in verse number 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. If you're one of those 10, do you think you would be crying out? Man, I would. I would. We're going to find out why it was so important why it was so desperate to ask God, Christ, for healing because of the way God commanded leprosy and those with leprosy to live when they had it. But all 10 of them cried out for mercy. The next line there, take a look. Verse 14 says this. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 obeyed. All 10 obeyed Christ's command. Man, how can you get 10 guys to obey the Lord at the same time? Give them leprosy first and then tell them that they're going to get cleansed, I guess. That is amazing in itself. I think about that. I'm serious that all 10 of them obeyed at the same time. Let's find out why the importance of doing this why he said to go see the priests and why they were out there. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 13. We're in the Old Testament now. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 13. The chapter dealing with how to deal with leprosy, classifying it, and how to deal with not just the people, but the clothes they wear, the house they live in, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to focus on a couple of things here. First of all, verse number two. I'll read for us verse number two to verse number eight. Says this: when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. And the priests shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in the sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days, and the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spreads much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. Let me stop right here before we look near the end of the chapter. So if this happens to someone, they have this scab, this wound, etc. The Bible says, first of all, he needs to go before the priests. And the Lord shows them and says, here's how you determine whether it's leprosy or not, or whether they should be isolated or not. What's that? Quarantine. So let's say the Bible tells us that they go before the priests and it doesn't look anything like leprosy. It looks fine. What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to wash, get cleaned up, and as long as nothing shows up again, they can go on their way. But if it looks similar to leprosy, what are they supposed to do? Quarantine for 7 days. 7 days. They got to stay away for a week from everybody. Then after 7 days, if nothing seems to change, they are supposed to come before the priest again, and he can pronounce them clean. But what are they supposed to do after that? 7 more days, then clean, and then get back with the rest of the tribe. But if it continues to spread, that's where they are supposed to be isolated in a lengthy period of time and not spread that amongst the tribes. Let's go to verse number 43. Verse 43. And we look at this, and we're not even reading the whole thing, but this is what these guys have been through, is what I'm telling you. This is what these guys have been through. Presuming if they obeyed Jesus that way, even in that short little passage we're looking at in the New Testament, certainly they had gone before the priests. They had been declared unclean. They're now clearly leprous in the chapter of Luke there. Take a look at verse 43. This gives us an idea of what to do after that. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head, or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh. I'm in verse 44. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Then verse 46, and all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. Leprosy was a terrible disease in itself. It ate away the skin. At that time, it led often to death, most of the time to death. Today, leprosy still exists. It's not necessarily in America, but it is in some countries like in Africa and so forth. And there is medicine to combat it, so it's not spreadable and so forth. So it does still exist, but it's not considered a disease that is dangerous to be around at this point. But certainly at that time it was. At that time it was. Could affect anybody possibly who they touched. The Bible says that God told Israel to take pretty drastic measures to keep the tribe from getting sick. So if they were to go anywhere, let me ask you this. Luke chapter number 17, what did the crowd hear before they heard these men cry out for Jesus? Unclean. Unclean. We're here. Stay away from us. And certainly I don't believe they wanted to share it with anybody, but consider that was the life they were in. And all 10 obeyed Christ's command. Then let's look at verse 15 again. Here in Luke 17, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. And what's the first thing he did? Glorified God. Only one glorified God. Only one, at least here in this chapter. And it says with a loud voice. So instead of saying unclean, he said, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Man, wouldn't you do that? If somebody told you, hey, you don't have cancer anymore, everything's good, and you have a clean bill of health today, praise the Lord. And that's where they were. Then it says, and he fell down on his face, verse 16, at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Interesting how Scripture wanted us to know. This was not someone from the tribe of Israel. This was not necessarily someone who didn't know all the background. This was someone who was not just ostracized by leprosy that day, but ostracized by his heritage. As Scripture tells us, often they were considered as dogs by the Jewish people. And yet Scripture points out he was the only one who said, thank you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Take a look there. Maybe you didn't get healed of leprosy today, or cancer, or other things like that. But let me ask you, did God do anything for you today that benefited you, that blessed you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 gives us what we ought to do in response. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're going to look at verse number 18. Once you find it, Would you read it with me? Okay, I'm almost there. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at verse 18. Let's read that one together, please. Let's begin. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what things are we to be thankful for in? Everything, everything. Now, I don't believe that the Bible is referring to sin here. You know, be thankful that you could no. Sin, not that. But everything that could honor the Lord, be thankful, be thankful. Your life honors the Lord. Thank you, Lord, I woke up this morning. Thank you, Lord, I can reach somebody. Boy, I listened to the letter by Michael Garmy, and you know, to us here in the West, we think, man, every single day, every single Uber driver, well, you remember Michael Garmy. He's a hard guy to say no to. And it's not because he's mean. It's because he loves the Lord so much and wants to tell folks about Jesus so much and be used of the Holy Spirit. That begins to work through the hearts of other people. God uses him. And pray for these guys, you know, pray for them that got saved or called on Christ, that their faith can be grounded in the Lord Jesus. As he mentioned, some churches nearby are trying to help out. But God says he wants you and I to be thankful in everything, every situation. Give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God. Notice this. in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. If Jesus is your Savior tonight, God says there's nothing that you can't, there's nothing or event that comes by that thankfulness should not be a part of your attitude toward God. There should be something you can thank God for, even in the midst of great loss, great disappointment, other things that are not, that we don't look forward to, we don't pray about, but God says, you can still look to me and be thankful, and be thankful. And we want to see that's part of those who show mercy. Mercy without expectation. Do you see why it has to be a gift of the Spirit? Because what do we often do? If we help someone, what do we expect? What does God tell us to do to him? We just read it, folks. What does he tell us to do if he does something for us? Give thanks. Say thank you. And so what do? Well, here, I helped you out with that. Why didn't you just say thank you? And yet, Jesus pointed out these other lepers that did not thank him, but did he condemn them? I think that was part of his teaching to those around him as well. So certainly, he was going to heal them, whether they want to thank him or not. But he decides when that's going to happen. When we share mercy, we need to consider to help that it is a help without expectation from recipients. Does that mean that the help we give is to, I can't even think of the word now, to give them opportunity to do something wrong with it? I heard you were going to go buy lottery tickets. I heard you didn't have the money. Here you go. Here's $20. No, we don't do that kind of help, do we? We do help that the Lord and the Holy Spirit leads to do. And then he says that mercy showing has admonition. Let's go back to Romans chapter 12. What is the admonition in showing mercy? At the end of verse number 8, he says, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Folks, when somebody walks in our church, they should see cheerful people. Yes. When you walk out of the church, somebody should see somebody who's cheerful. Yes. And what does that mean, cheerful? That means, let's take a look at it. Cheerful, it means joyfully ready to act. Joyfully, that's the blank, ready to act. Would someone take, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Who would take 2 Corinthians 9, 7? All right, Kathy's got that. Then, Joshua 1, verse number 9. Joshua 1, verse 9. All right, Kim's got that. And we got to stop right there. Mercy showing. And the Spirit's admonition, he says it must be done with cheerfulness, joyfully ready to act. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 is the only other place in the New Testament we see this specific Greek word that's translated cheerful or cheerfulness in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7.
Every man, according as he had purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity.
Okay, thank you. And then here in Romans 12, we see that the mercy needs to be shown with cheerfulness, joyfully ready to act. Literally, the word is hilarious or hilarious. Does that sound like any word in English?
Hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious. This does not mean out of insanity and just silly. It means joyfully looking ahead to do something. Joyfully looking ahead, ready to act. That is the idea of cheerfulness. Discouragement tempts the mercy shower. Why do you think so? Why would discouragement tempt the mercy shower? For the exact reason why we just mentioned. Because if we do something for somebody and they don't respond, say, wait a minute, why should I ever do this again? or they respond in a wrong way, etc., that can be discouraging. Here's what God told Joshua. They need to depend on the Lord as the mercy showers as well as the recipients. Joshua 1 verse 9, there's one particular word we want to hear about in Joshua 1 9. All right, thank you very much. So here the Lord is talking with Joshua, and he says, be not dismayed, discouraged, let down, or allowed to let something take you down. Joshua 1, verse 9, don't be discouraged. You're going to lead these people. And remember, it wasn't just a few hundred people that he was in charge of now, that he was leading. It was millions. And now they were going into battle in Canaan and so forth. Had a big task ahead of them. And he said, but don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Have courage in me. We're going to stop right there because we don't have any more time. But we're going to continue and finish this off in a couple of weeks. Again, Brother Doug's going to lead next week the Bible study. Encourage him. Support him. Be not dismayed. But go and show mercy. Show mercy, as the Lord commands us to do. Let's find a partner.